Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a safe and fantastic Memorial Day weekend. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe, and now we talk to TD. Teron Davenport, he is the NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, ESPN.com. He covers the Titans. Talking with TD is his podcast that you need to check out. Teron, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How was your weekend?
Weekend was great. Got a chance to just unwind, eat some good food, so can't complain. Hope you guys had a good one, too.
We did. So do you think the Titans were one of those teams that were not ready to open up their facilities yet? Do we have any word if this week that's going to happen or not?
No, nothing as of yet, but you do see multiple facilities being opened and getting the clearance to do so, so I would imagine as we continue to progress through the different phases, at some point in the near future, the Titans will have their facility open, but it's going to be open with restrictions.
When it's open, what do you think is their first order of business? What's the first thing when they go over there to the facility that they try to tackle first? How would you answer that?
I think the first thing they're going to do is form a team just to handle any situations that may arise. That's what I would imagine would be the first thing. So they'll appoint somebody to be in charge of that and then have a committee, you know, support that person that they put in charge. I think in addition to that, they'll make sure that all of the maybe, what do you call those, the stands where you could, you know, get the hand sanitizer, they'll make sure that those are distributed. I would imagine they'll map out the facility and have it spaced out so that way with decals on the floor to separate 6 feet of, you know, create 6 feet of separation. I think those are the type of things they'll tackle first, and then they'll begin to get some of the football people into the building. But, again, it's not going to be just open up and everything is turnkey and going like it would have without this situation arising.
Where do you think the first order – what do you think is the first order of business? Where do you think Clowney is on that list?
I mean, that whole situation is still a mystery, so I can't really call that. I think they will at some point take a look at him. I mean, it's only right, and I think this is probably the best situation for him. But I really can't say where that is. I think, you know, that's probably behind – getting everyone else in there and getting some type of normalcy to OTAs and minicamp, et cetera.
What do you think when you look at – let's go back to the part that you're talking about, figuring out all the logistics that we're constantly talking about with other sports, but the NFL has been the one that's kind of stayed true to their schedule. I mean, they really haven't deviated at all. Obviously – the draft was different, but it still went off in the same window and or time frame. Where do you think they are as a league? Because there really isn't much coming out about. I mean, training camps are supposed to crank up at the end of July. Where do you think they are on those type of discussions? Do you think they have any idea whether it's going to be business as usual or if there's going to be a delay? Do you think they know that?
No, I mean, how could you know, to be honest with you? But I think unlike a lot of other leagues, the NFL has the luxury of not having games actually scheduled in the midst of the pandemic. So it's definitely worked out in their favor, and that's a part of why they've been able to stick to everything. But, again, it goes back to just continuing to work through the phases. I think as these phases continue to be worked through, they'll get closer to an actual training camp, but I'm just curious how they're going to allow the media interaction to take place. Every other camp, they've had the fans there. I don't think that that's going to be something that's going to happen in training camp. And then you have the logistics of traveling. And then even you remember, Mike Vrabel said that he wanted to look at having one, maybe even two teams, joint practices, two sessions. So that's something else to look at. So, I think they're just shooting forward with the expectation of things to go off as normal, but understanding that there's going to be room for an audible to be called.
Talking to Teron Davenport, talking with TD, as we like to do on the show. He's of course got the podcast. He covers the Titans for ESPN. Teron, I want to ask a question. I remember the day after, and it was the day after the FC Championship game where the Titans had been beaten by the Chiefs, we immediately started kicking around the Tom Brady idea. We know now that he is with the Buccaneers, and it is amazing to me how much discussion, and it really shouldn't be amazing because we have all this time to contemplate, and as you said, you know, we're still got to work out all the logistics here to have a season, but all the odds makers seem to think that the Tampa Bay Bucs are in the top five or at least top seven teams in the NFL right now. A, do you buy that? And B, do you think that there could be a little bit of overhype, kind of like the Browns got? They're sort of like the Browns of last year. They're getting the most attention because of the offseason moves they made.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of overhype, and I'm not so sure if they're a top five team. I kind of liken it to back when LeBron James went to the Heat, right? And everybody just instantly crowned them as the best team. And starting off, they were not, right? It took some time for them to get in sync, right? You had Chris Bosh coming there. Well, just the same, you have Gronkowski coming there and Brady. It's going to take time for everything to settle into place under normal circumstances. But then with these circumstances that we're looking at, I think it's going to take even more. So I wouldn't expect them to come out the gate being NFL champions, right? I think they'll probably be a contender as the year goes on and they start to find their rhythm. But it is true. I mean, to put them as a top five team right now is not something I would necessarily do. And I think you have to look right in that division. The Saints are a pretty darn good team, you know, and there hasn't been much turnover as far as the Saints are concerned. So I think that's the team actually to beat in that division, let alone in the NFC and also as a Super Bowl contender.
You know, it's an interesting parallel you made with LeBron going to the Heat. And, of course, the difference is Tom Brady probably I'm pretty sure, unless he is not human, he doesn't have the timeline that LeBron had at the time he went to the Heat. So Tampa has really got to make it happen pretty quick. They can't really grow into being a contender. That's what's compelling about it for me, Teron. But I remember you were pro Brady. You think Brady still got good football left in him. And so that to me is the really intriguing part of him going to Tampa Bay, especially amidst all this hype we're talking about.
Yeah, I think he definitely still has good football in him. And I think at times he showed flashes last season, even though he didn't have the typical Tom Brady-like season that he's had. But I think there's plenty left with him. And I think when you put together that timing on offense and you give him those weapons, you know, that shifty slot receiver, the tight end, I think you could really put a situation together for him to be productive and be a Super Bowl winning caliber quarterback. I mean, that's what he is, period. So, yeah, I was definitely pro Brady, you know, as far as looking at the idea to bring him in. I think end of the day, the Titans, they knew what was best for their situation, and I think their decision was a good decision, and we'll see how this season plays out.
All right, I'm going to ask the weekly question that I know we don't have the answer to, but What does your mind tell you right now, Teron, on where things stand with Jadeveon Clowney?
I think it's status quo. It stands right where it has always stood, and that there's interest, and in the right situation, they'll make it happen. But I think you have to look at, again, as we get further and further into the out of the off season and into the preseason, so to speak, that number is going to go down further and further. And the situation for him, as far as the Titans being the right situation, gets better and better because he can hit the ground running because he already knows the scheme. So I still think the Titans are the favorite to land Clowney. I think it just comes down to the right deal being put in place.
We're talking to Teron Davenport, the Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, also talking with TD, the podcast, Chasing TD in the fall. My co-hosts on that, so always enjoy having our conversations. I need you to clarify something, though, because we were talking about the facilities reopening and when that could happen fully for the Titans. But Jeffrey Simmons, as a player that's been rehabbing, he's been allowed at the facility, correct?
Yes, Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown also. There are select players that have been in the facility.
So do they go in? Do you know the details? Or do they go in by themselves? Do they have a strength coach that's able to be there and do some workouts with them? I'm just wondering what the logistics are with that.
I know they go in by themselves. I'm not sure if they have a specific strength coach working with them, whether that's, you know, Coach Pirano or not. I'm not sure how that really has been in place. I know when they've been asked, they've been very vague as far as some of the questions were, how many people are you seeing in the building? And they just say, well, you know, we just go in, keep our head down, do our job, and then leave. So that's pretty much the extent of what we've been told.
I was just looking for a little clarification on that, so I appreciate it. So this morning I was reading through ESPN.com, came out with the Football Power Index, the 2020 season rankings and predictions that they do every year. And I find this stuff just to be fascinating because it's a good talking point when you're trying to make those predictions looking at the season. Obviously, Kansas City is number one, but they have the Titans ranked 16th with projected wins at 8.4 and a chance to reach the playoffs at 55%. This seems about on par with what a lot of the national pundits think about this team, but what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the Titans will win 10 games, not 8.4, so I would boost that number up, which would in turn boost their chances of making the playoffs. But I think it's fair. It has the Titans as a playoff team, which is what they should be. Me personally, though, I would – and if you look, the Colts were 8.6, and I think they had a 58% chance. So they were just neck and neck with the Colts for tops in the division. So I think – conceptually, that's about where you should have the Titans projected. I just will probably have both teams escalated up the chart a little bit higher because I think both teams are better than the ranking. I think the Colts were like 14. So I think both teams are better than the bottom half of the top of the ranking.
They also have the, you know, ranking the schedules, the hardest and easiest schedules. The Broncos listed with the hardest schedule, the Colts listed with the easiest schedule, but they have the Titans number two with the easiest schedule. And I know everything they're factoring into that and the percentages, but I look at especially those first six games for the Titans and I see more question marks, which I can't really say that's easy by any means. They haven't won a game in Denver since they have been the Tennessee Titans. So and you got the Steelers in there as well. So what do you think about that of being ranked the second easiest schedule?
Yeah, I don't really like ranking schedules, especially being as though the toughness of the schedule was based upon last year's results. Well, guess what? Things change, right? The Patriots aren't the same team. The Bucks aren't the same team. Things change. So I don't really get into all that. I think, you know, when you look at the schedule, you play the people in front of you, and that's really what it comes down to. And at the end of the year, the results fall the way they fall. So strength of schedule, toughness of schedule, I don't buy into that. Like, I like what Mike Vrabel says as far as controlling what he could control. You know, they'll play wherever they're asked to play, and they'll go out and try to win the ball game, and that's really what it comes down to.
And just another thing that stood out to me in this is the Jags have a 23% chance to land the number one overall pick, which we all believe will be Trevor Lawrence. So they're going to try the Gardner Minshew experiment. The FPI doesn't feel good about that and thinks that they would land Trevor Lawrence number one overall. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Jags will be one of the worst teams. It's just funny to me because, you know, a certain website that everybody goes to and thinks the rankings are biblical had Gardner Minshew as the best rookie quarterback last year. I'm sure that Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray would disagree, but, you know, at end of the day, it's all just it's good for chatter. I don't see the Jaguars being good. There's just too much turmoil and too much just that situation is just not right for any group of guys to play football, but you never know what could happen.
And finally, what did you make of basically the pass interference rule last year that just coming out and Troy Vincent just saying, hey, this thing failed miserably? The PI replay, what did you make of that?
I agree because it rarely got overturned. So if you're going to give somebody an opportunity to challenge, at least give them a chance to win. And, you know, most of the time it didn't get overturned. So, yeah. I agree. It was a joke, and it's something that Mike Vrabel, I know Coach Vrabel talked about that multiple times throughout the year, and I'm sure that he and a lot of other head coaches are glad that's not in place anymore.
Ryan Clark, I know, Willie, you watch Get Up. I don't know if you saw this. Ryan Clark this morning on Get Up said he believes the league did that on purpose, that they set it up for failure just to basically tell the Saints and anybody who else who wanted it, yeah, that was a bad idea. In other words, it was set up for failure. He didn't, you know, because obviously after that play happened, you know, there was this knee-jerk reaction, and he felt like they kind of did it to appease them, but they also set it up to fail. Because, remember, those were the questions we were all asking, like, how are they not overturning? Like, we're all seeing things and going, how could they actually call that? How could they look at that and come back and say, you know, give that decision? So, I don't know. I didn't know if you'd seen that or not. I thought it was interesting.
I have so many thoughts of how this thing has gone. I think it's fascinating that they have scrapped it just once and for all, rather than do what the NHL has done with goaltender interference, where it's been an evolving thing. There's been a lot of growing pains. There's been a lot of stuff. But I think they've got it to the point where it is workable. There's a better understanding of what it is, especially, guys, when you attach a penalty to it. That's what I'm surprised, that they did not go down that road of, okay, you can challenge, but if you're wrong, you get a penalty. And so you would only challenge if it is really, really clear-cut. And then the league would have to then balance that out with getting rid of this farce of, oh man, we just don't overturn. That's basically the message they were sending. Yeah, we just don't overturn those calls unless it's, you know, a crime committed on the field or something short of that. You know, I think they could have worked with it if they wanted to, because now they're going to set themselves up. Somebody is going to have another Saints kind of play. I don't know if it'll be in the AFC or NFC championship game, but there's going to be a play in a big game that happens where they're saying, well, we used to have a way to challenge this, but not anymore.
Yeah, I'm of the if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it school. So I don't really support every year having these rule changes, to be honest with you. And I get it. It was a big play. But, you know, my thought process is this. Don't go down. Don't go up 10-0 in the championship game in your own building and give up the lead. You know, that's just me. But end of the day, I get it. People are using that one play as an excuse for the Saints losing to the Rams. And, I mean, it is what it is. But there's just a good aspect to having that human error in the game, you know. So I don't think they should strive for like absolute perfection, you know, robotic-like perfection. Just let the games play out.
It is funny times. How you watch all these old games. We, you know, if you're watching any games, you're watching old games. Some might be from 5 years ago. Some might be from last year. Some might be from 20 years ago or 30. And it is funny how whichever sport you're watching, you will see some bad calls in games that took place before replay, and it was that was the call, right? They might have said, hey, that was a bad call. They missed that one. But you know what? Life went on, right? They played the game, and they had a result, and that's what happened.
81 times that play was challenged, 13 times it was overturned. So very, very small number. Appreciate the visit, as always. You have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas. Take it easy.
Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. Talking with TD is his podcast, and you should check that out every week. We will come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight-up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas-style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.